My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is wonderful to be gathered once again in our Father's house. So, every once in a while I'll ask the question, so why did you come? What you were looking for? You know what I mean? We don't do things without a reason, right? And the reason we come to this house is because we need life. Life takes life out of you, doesn't it? I mean, it wears you down. It makes it hard. And we come to this place because we need life. And this is the place where God delivers life, right? And so let us begin our worship service, remembering the day that God gave us new life in Christ, in the day that we were baptized. We remember in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us, Lord, to gather in your house, in your name, to hear your word, Lord, and your promises of faith and forgiveness in you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and minds. Lord, inhabit us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us by him deeper and deeper into your word to better knowledge of you, Lord, so that we can worship you as the God you truly are. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is now time for us to confess our sins. And in doing so, we begin in 1 John chapter 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's return praise and thanksgiving to our God.
All praise in the valley, and praise on the mountains. All praise when I'm sure, and praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered, and praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the waters my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh my soul, praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise when I feel it, I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise cause I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I'm gone. praise, 'cause you reign. Praise, 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Oh, praise, 'cause you're faithful. Praise, 'cause you're true. Praise, 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Oh, praise, 'cause you're sovereign. Praise, 'cause you reign. Praise, 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Oh, praise, 'cause you're faithful. Praise, 'cause you're true. Praise, 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Good morning. There we are. I'm Kevin Chegg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading for our sermon today is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is God's word for us today. It is now time for the children's message. So children, if you guys would come forward at this time, Pastor Bill has the message today.
Good morning. There was one word in the Bible passage that Pastor Bob just read, and that was the word forgive. Who can tell me, what does it mean to forgive? Yes, ma'am. Okay, if somebody says they're sorry, we listen to them, don't we? And we love them. And we tell them we are not angry with them. And so if we're not angry with them anymore, then we forgive them, right? Is God angry with you?
No.
Why not? Haven't you been naughty? Yeah, you're naughty. You know all that. So why is God angry with you? Because he forgave you, right? Because he loves you. You know? You have to love in order to forgive. And you have to forgive in order to love. Did you know that? They go together like a horse and carriage. Very important. Okay, so now we know God loves us. And so he forgives us. He gives us that love and forgiveness, and we are filled up with that love and forgiveness so that we can pass that love and forgiveness on to others. Does God want you to forgive others? Yes. Does he want you to love others?
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, if somebody hits you, what do you want to do? Hit him back? Is that right? No. That's not forgiving, is it? If somebody takes a toy away from you, what do you want to do? You want to take the toy back?
No.
No. We want to let them have it and say, I forgive you. Okay? We want to love them. But what happens if we want to hit them back? If we want to be mean back to them? That love that flows all the way down? If we shut it off, where's the shut-off valve? Is it up here or down here? If we refuse to forgive others, the shut-off valve is up here. If we refuse to forgive others, then we don't get forgiven. And that is terrible. You see, I made God yellow because he shines. He's the light, isn't he? And he shines in our hearts too when we forgive. But when we don't forgive, we have darkness in our hearts. The darkness of hatred. If we forgive, if we hate to forgive, if we don't forgive, then we're filled with hatred. And that's dark. And that's yucky. We don't want to be like that, do we? No, we want to be filled with God, with his brightness, with his light. And so, we too will learn to love others, even if they're mean to us. We love them anyway, just like God loves us, even when we do bad things. And he is there with us always. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive others. Help us, God. Because we're weak. And we need you.
We need
your love and forgiveness.
And
we need your Holy Spirit. To give us strength.
So we can indeed
love and forgive others.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, everybody, four-year-old through fourth grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle with permission of your parents. Don't run away without your parents knowing. That would not be good. And then the rest of us, let's open God's word here and now today. So much in this text for today. We have Jesus appearing to his disciples with Thomas, without Thomas, and all that. And yeah, not doing anything with any of that. I'm actually going to focus the message today on just the last two verses, which is this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I love John. John is a deep thinker. I mean, seriously deep thinker. You know, his gospel is the gospel that was written while John was an old man after being a minister of Christ and leading God's church for almost 100 years. I mean, this guy was like, he was the guy. You know what I'm saying? And he learned a lot of stuff about himself, and he learned a lot of stuff about his Jesus. I mean, not only from following Jesus and listening to Jesus talk, but then watching as Jesus lived out ministry in the lives of the people around John for such a long time, watching God work in the world. And when he sat down to write his gospel, he had to make a lot of decisions. You know, there was a lot of stuff that Jesus said and a lot of stuff that Jesus did, and he had to figure out what was going to be the reason that he was going to leave things in, the reason he was going to leave things out. And he developed so many amazing themes throughout his book. You got the theme of the Word that became flesh and lived among us. You have the light and the darkness theme that runs throughout John. You have the life and the death theme that runs through John. And John had to decide what was he going to put in, what was he going to leave out. And he tells us in this text exactly why. He said this: "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That by believing in this Jesus, you might have life. So what does that mean? I mean, I get the believing in Jesus thing. I understand the idea of having confidence in the work of Christ. You know, this sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf of himself, giving himself willingly so that our sins were covered because he took our sins on himself and paid the penalty for those sins as if he were guilty for them, and giving us the benefit of his perfect life that he had lived in our place. And so because of the faith that the Spirit brings us, and because we believe and have trust in this incredible sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus, that we have life. I understand that part. But what is this life that we're given? And the reason I ask is because, you know, I'm kind of a fan of fantasy fiction, and you know, just fiction in general. I just love stories. They're so much fun. And one of the types of stories that are out there are people that somehow or another get to live a very, very long time, maybe even forever. Okay? You know, somebody who, like, you know, for whatever reason, somebody does magic or whatever it is, and they are now all of a sudden able to live. And the problem is, in most of these cases, the big question is that a blessing or a curse? Because while they continue to live, does death stop in the world? Does the world become a wonderful, fair, and fun place to be in at all times? The people that they love over and over die around them. And they continually watch the suffering of people around them. And it becomes a terrible burden for them because death didn't end even though they don't get to die. And is this the life that Jesus has for us? That we would somehow live forever in sort of, let's say, an eternal survival. That we would just somehow dodge death and that's it. And the answer is no, that would not be good news, right? That's not a gospel. That's not salvation. That's just some kind of twisted curse, right? So what is it when John says, "I have written these things down that you may believe in Jesus and have life in his name"? And we know that at least part of this whole thing is this eternal life, right? That we know that Jesus died on the cross so that we are going to be able, that when we die, we will not die with a capital D, but our life will continue with God. And what exactly that's going to look like, people love to dispute and argue and debate because we don't really know. I mean, God tells us that we will be with him forever. Wild, right? He tells us that it will be perfect. What does that look like? We don't know. We're too imperfect to even really have a good concept of what perfect would look like. We can trust God that it's going to be good. But is that it? When we talk about that's eternal life, are we just saying that we have to somehow scrap through this life on our own and then eventually way down the road we will have this eternal life with him? And John says no. Listen to Jesus when he prays. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane when he is anticipating being arrested. And he says, he prays for his disciples. Beautiful prayer. Read it sometime. It's absolutely wonderful. I'm going to be picking up where he starts talking about us. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. This is Trinitarian language here. You understand this? You know, this whole Trinity thing, you know, that the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but how many gods are there? Is the Father part of God? No, the Father is God. The Son is not part of God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is not part of God. Holy Spirit is God. But yet there are not three gods, but one God. We don't understand, but what we do know and understand is that there is this amazing unity in the Godhead. That the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Yet, separate persons within the Godhead. Trinity and unity, unity and Trinity. Wild stuff, right? But here's what Jesus is doing in this prayer. He's telling us that somehow we're going to be connected in with that somehow. That Jesus is praying that with the same unity, the same, that just like Jesus is like, I am in you and you are in me, I want these to be in us and us in them. I want to have life together. Well, that's interesting. I mean, when we talk about that we have life in Christ's name, you understand what that means? Is that when we talk about being in Christ's name, when we talk about praying in Christ's name, whenever we talk about Christ's name or the name of God, what we're saying is everything that's about God, everything that's about Jesus. So everything that Jesus loves, everything that Jesus values, everything that Jesus works for, everything that Jesus has done, everything that Jesus dreams of, all of that is wrapped up in us living life in his name. That when we live life in Jesus's name, what we are, the relationship we are being invited into is that our life is conformed and wrapped around Christ. That we submit ourselves to him in this radical way where his will is the will that matters. And that our will becomes beneath it. That we will make every choice in life, and that as we walk through life, we will have him with us. That when we are walking through life, we pray without ceasing because God is all around us, in us, through us, speaking, acting, doing. And that We immerse ourselves in him, which means why would we want to be in God's word? Well, because that's what it means to understand who God is. That's how he reveals himself to us. And how in the world can we conform ourselves to God unless we know who he is and what he's done and what he loves and what he hates? We want to know so that we can become even closer to this God who has revealed himself to us and rescued us and loved us. And that we would live in and through God. That he becomes not just a thing out there that we try to connect to throughout our life, but that he is all around us, saturating us all the time. So that whenever we live every decision. Now, we're not going to do it perfectly, but we try with everything we have because we love this God and we want to conform our life to him. And so as best as we understand and as best as we can, using everything that God has given us in this world, we make our every decision in submission to the God who has made us his own. I mean, think about that. And the thing is, the question I have for you is, are we close to worthy of this relationship with him? And my gracious, no. But nevertheless, because of Jesus and his love and his mercy, he welcomes us into this relationship anyway. And even though we are not capable of fully understanding, apprehending, and executing the love and the grace of God in this world, and that we're just not able to do it, God says, do it anyway. Because while we're wrapping our lives around him, here's the craziest thing. He's wrapping his life around you. And the reason that you are going to be effective in this world as his ambassador, as somebody who brings his love and peace into the world, the reason that you will be enough is not because you are enough, but because he is enough. That he will redeem even your efforts to living out his greatness in the world and to bring him glory in the world. Your efforts will be enough only because he is living in you. Understand the immediacy, the intimacy of this relationship that God wants to have with you. It's not a superficial thing. It's not like your relationship with God is checking a box on Sunday. It's that God is with you intimately all the time. That there is never a moment when you are enough on your own. And there is never a time when you would even want to try to live on your own. Why would you turn your back on the God who loves you and supports you and promises to be with you and bless you and sustain you until the day he brings you to be with him in heaven? Why? Why not instead just stew in Jesus? Let him saturate you. Crave his word. Live his word as much as you can. Allow him to change your heart. Oh, I know there's those places in your heart that you don't want God poking. I get it. But let him soak in. Let him invade your space. Let him have every nook and cranny. You know, you think that those dark spots in the world are just going to, those dark spots in your life, those things that you've done, those thoughts that you have, those attitudes that are just not right, and you think, well, I'm just going to bottle those up and keep those away from anybody. I don't want anybody seeing any of that stuff. And we think that that's somehow better for us and better for God. And God says, no. You know what really gets rid of the dirt? Light. Jesus is light. He says, let it out. Don't let it out in a way that's damaging. Let it out in a way. Repent. Get it in front of God. Don't hold it back. Let him into every spot of your life so that at the end, you are just exposed before God. And here's the craziest thing. Number one, if you're hiding from God, are you hiding? Only in your mind, right? Does God already know? Yeah. So if God already knows and he says, I love you, if you confess to him, is he going to stop loving you? No, he already knows. So here's the thing. When you confess and you let God in and you let him saturate that and clean up all of the darkness in your life, you'll understand even better what it means that he loves you unconditionally. Because even then you will be loved. Even then you will be cherished. Even then you will be forgiven. You will still be called his child. You will still be called precious. You will still be one of his redeemed. Your name will still be in the book of life, because as great as your sin, God's grace is greater. You know, John, another thing about this guy cracks me up, because, you know, I identify with him because he did such an amazing job putting this whole book together and developing all these themes and having all these deep thoughts. And then he messed up right at the end, which is familiar. The reading that we did is the end of chapter 20. Sounds like it's the end of the book, right? There's a chapter 21. Because after John finished the book the first time, he realized he messed up and left something out. Because Peter, his buddy, the one that he was fishing with when he was first called by Jesus into the ministry, that guy, had sinned. He denied Christ right before the crucifixion. And John realized that he had sealed up the gospel without having Peter restored. And John was like, that's too important. I can't leave that out. I got to go back and deal with that. And so he did, and they had Peter out fishing again, right? And Jesus comes up on the shore just like the very first time when they first met and said, hey, you catch anything? And Peter said, no. And he said, well, put your net out the other side of the boat. You know, you think Peter would have caught on a little quicker, but nevertheless. And then he catches the fish, right? And then he realizes who this is. And he doesn't even wait to get to the boat to the shore. He jumps in the water. And then Jesus isn't done with Peter yet. Then he has to ask Peter, Peter, do you love me? Whew. Yes, Jesus, I love you. Then Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Then he says, Peter, do you love me? And at this point, Peter is like so guilty and so messed up and so repentant and just so many emotions. And he goes, Jesus, you know everything on earth. You know that I love you. And he gives Peter the job. He gives Peter his job. Tend my sheep. Take care of my people. Love these. The man who had just shown exactly how weak he was, Jesus gave the job to take care of other people. And he did it. Not because he was strong, but because God is that good. And you might look at the world today, you might look at yourself today, and you might say, the world is too big, the problems are too big, I can't do it. You might say of yourself, I am too messed up, you don't know the things that I've done, I am not the right person for the job. And God says, I don't care. All I ask is, do you love me? And if you love me, get out there. If you love me, wrap your life around me. I will wrap my life around you. Bible words for this is abide in me and I will abide in you. We will do this together. I will be enough. You will be obedient. Now let's go. And as my redeemed people, let's do this work in this world that I choose to do through you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have welcomed us into so much more than a casual relationship, Lord, but a lifelong bonding and union between you and us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work out in our lives faith, Lord, that can better understand, apprehend, and apply all these things so that we can live our lives, Lord, truly alive, living out your purposes, doing your stuff, Lord, God's stuff in this world. Give us the grace and mercy, Lord, to conform ourselves, our lives to you, so that we can be, Lord, all that you want us to be. Thank you, Jesus, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Who tells the sun to rise every morning, colors the sky with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. Thank you.
Today we'll be using the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with your church, Lord, as you have promised to be. And Lord, the incredible promise that is, that you are with us, that you are for us, that you are in us, that you work through us, that you give us strength, that you provide for us, that you never leave us alone, that you're by our side, always guiding us, giving us strength, everything that we need, Lord. And we need everything from you. But you faithfully provide, unerringly, without end, without condition. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us, because we need you, Lord, every day. There is never a moment when we can go this alone. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with the ministries of our congregation, Lord, to those who are reaching out to the poor, to those who are reaching out to the young, to those who are reaching out to the old, Lord, that those who are supporting families, to those who are supporting teenagers, Lord, all the different ways that you are doing work in this world through this church, Lord, I pray that you would continue to work through those people, Lord, give them all that they need. Help them, Lord, to lean on you and trust in you for all things. Lord, I pray that you would be with each individual person in our church, and that you would continue to give us strength through the difficulties that we are facing in life. Lord, I pray especially for Richard Bish, Lord, as he is experiencing heart problems. Lord, I pray that you would just bless the work of the doctors as he receives a heart cath on Monday, Lord, and that they would be able to give him all the treatment he needs so that he can return to the life that you have for him and the work, Lord, that he is doing in your name. Lord, I pray that you would continue, Lord, to be with every child of our congregation, Lord, that you would continue to grow in them, Lord, a faith that will sustain them through life, Lord, that as wonderful and innocent as their lives are right now, Lord, they will not always be that way, Lord, but that their faith is going to grow so that it will support them no matter what life brings. Because, Lord, that faith is in you, and you are capable of supporting them no matter what life brings. And, Lord, I pray that you would be with the people of our community. So many hurts and hardships out there, Lord. Help us to have our eyes open and be aware. Give us the words to say when we notice in the proper time, when we're given opportunities to bear witness to you and your love. Help us to do so, Lord, in a way that is kind, compassionate, loving, helpful. And Lord, most of all, just connects people to you. Thank you for loving us in all these ways. And we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
God is amazing. He's always thinking ahead, you know, like moms do, giving us the stuff we need even before we know we need it, you know. And he knew today was coming, and he knew today you were going to walk into here weak and wounded and ready to fall down, and he provided for you the redemption, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation that you're going to need today. And right before sending you back out into the world, he reconfirms that forgiveness of sins, just in case you missed it earlier. But then he also, in this same meal, gives us strength so that we can go back out into the world and wrap our lives around him and let him wrap his life around us so that we together can work in this world to do the things that God has put before us to do. And so, folks, we got work to do today. I know it's Sunday and everybody wants to rest. Get to work. All right. Receive our Lord's blessing as you go your way. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
Today is the day.
first of all, before we do announcements, I want to just share with you something that's very, very important to us as a church, and it's this: is that we are a life confirming church. We are a church that cares deeply about the life of every person that God has created, and that includes people who have not yet been born. And the reason I bring it up today is because I want to let you know that we as a congregation have prepared to that if in case God ever brings us somebody who is in a stressful pregnancy, and that's kind of a strange thing to say, all pregnancies are stressful, but and a particularly one that when the woman doesn't know exactly how she's going to provide for a baby, has more questions than answers, and really truly is just desperate in the world, and in a position where she could possibly make it such a decision as to not have her baby, that we want to be God's hands and feet in her life. We want to make sure that she feels loved deeply. We want to make sure she understands her importance and the importance of her child. And we want to be very instrumental in helping her and providing for her if needed, supporting her in whatever ways we can, cooperating with other ministries in our area to do so. To the point that there are three couples in our congregation that are willing to even take her into their home on a temporary basis if necessary to care for her. And this is important for you guys to understand, is because I want you to be as prepared too. That as a congregation, we work together in these endeavors. And if ever a situation like this arises and needs come up, I want to be able to make those needs available and known to you so that you can help us then provide for them. And we have no idea what those needs could be. It could be furniture. It could be helping set her up in an apartment. It could be. I don't even know. It could be babysitting. Wouldn't that stink? You'd have to take care of a baby. There's like all these things that might come up. And I just want you to be perfectly considering and being well willing in the moment to jump in if God leads you to do so. All right? With that, as you pray for the ladies who are struggling with these problems. Pray for all the things that I just said. Pray that they would know of their value. Pray that God would send Christians into their world that could tell them about how important they are and how precious their child is. Pray that God would provide for them and give them, and pray that God would bring them to us so that we can love them if that's what God wants to do. That make sense? Outstanding. With that then, we've got a few announcements. First of all, let's see here. First of all, there's going to be a bake sale. Is it next week? Yeah, next week. There's a bake sale here. That's the youth ministry, and they're going to be selling stuff to raise money for their trip to New Orleans for the National Youth Gathering, which will be really cool. Also, in conjunction with that, this week and next week, you'll be able to place orders for bundt cakes and buntlets, which, if my etymology is right, means small bundt cakes, I think. And the thing is, you'll be able to place orders for those this week and next week, and then they'll be ready on the 11th, is the promise, May 11th. Let's see here. Family meeting is next Sunday. It's a budget meeting, so that'll be exciting. Budget meetings are always fun, but they tell me money is important, so we need to make sure we're taking care of the resources God has given us properly, so please show up for that. And then Dine to Donate was canceled this week because of Cinco de Mayo. I guess the Mexican restaurant figured they'll make enough money without us, so but you can still go to the Mexican restaurant. It just won't count toward us. So that's it. I think that's everything I have for you today. God's blessings on your week. And let's keep living out our risen life in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen.